Chapter number 3, The Grace of God. The grace of God. What meaningful words. What a meaningful message. Nothing is more fundamental in the foundation of our basic beliefs than the grace of God. All that we can ever hope to become in righteousness and spiritual power, all that we can ever hope to know of the peace that passeth understanding, and our complete hope of redemption in this life and immortality in the life to come, all of these depend on the grace of God. Everything that sin would take from us, the grace of God would restore to us in double measure. Everything that sin would seek to destroy in human life, the grace of God would strengthen and sustain. Against the backdrop of man's hopeless dilemma in sin, is God's design of grace. No wonder John Newton wrote about this amazing grace that saves a wretch like me. No wonder Paul reminded the Corinthian Christians, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, and ye through his poverty might be rich. By his grace we are saved, through his grace we become rich." What then is God's grace? The truth is larger than the measure of man's mind and cannot be completely analyzed through the limits of our intelligence. It defies definition, for if it could be confined to a definition, it would be limited by that definition, and God's grace is not limited. Grace is the unmerited favor of God, and yet it is more. It is God's love bestowed upon undeserving creatures, whereby he gives us what we cannot earn for ourselves, and bestows upon us what we can never work out for ourselves. God's grace must be understood, first of all, as being a part of the nature of God himself. It is not something he learns from another or borrows from another. It is a part of his divine nature. Paul speaks of the riches of his grace and goes on to assure us that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. God's grace grows out of his riches within himself, his completeness, the finality of his love and power. The riches of his grace are more abounding than the power of sin. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Paul assured the Roman Christians and us that the supply of God's grace is never exhausted, and that there always is more of the grace of God than there is of the abundance of sin. If this were not true, there would be no hope, for we know something of the power of sin in human life. If we did not believe that the grace of God was more powerful, we would all be defeated. Life would not make sense if we had to surrender to the power of sin. In the darkest night, we know that the light is more powerful than the darkness, and that the darkness of sin has never been able to put out the light of life. This is our hope and our assurance. In this we rejoice triumphantly. The riches of God's grace are given to man through Jesus Christ. God has revealed himself to us through Jesus Christ, and this is a complete revelation, the revelation of his love, his grace, the revelation of his redemptive power and peace. God has shown us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness through Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ is the grace of God incarnate. God's grace is his expression of his concern and his purpose for us. His purpose of us from the foundation of the world is that we might have redemption through Christ our Lord. Man's eternal salvation has been God's eternal plan from the foundation of the world. Paul reminds us that God hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality through the light of the gospel. God's concern for us is undeserved by us. We could never deserve nor merit God's concern for us. The wages of sin is death, and unless God gives us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, we will receive nothing but death. Sin pays its own wages and does its own punishing. What God does for us grows out of his concern for us, even though we could never deserve this concern. This is why our fathers in the faith have assured us that grace is God's unmerited favor. Best of all, God's concern for us grows out of his limitless love for us. When one tries to define the love of God, he tries the impossible. If we could completely define God's love, it would be limited within the bounds of the definition. If God's love is limitless, and we are sure of that, then God's grace is also limitless. Stretch the mind as far as we can, and still there is much more to the love of God than we can realize. When we exhaust human language, we can only say, God so loved the world. This is the grace of God, the limitless love of God. God's concern for us is unconditional. While the complete benefits of redemption demand that man meet conditions of repentance, confession, and faith, God's concern for us does not await the act of any man. God is concerned for all mankind. God loves everybody. To leave any one person outside the concern of God would be to say that God does not care for everybody, and this would be untrue. When God so loved the world, he loved all of the world, regardless of who we are, what we are, or where we are. God's concern for man is unconditional, unlimited, and universal. This is the grace of God. God's complete concern for every person in all the world. God's grace is God's gift to us. While we do not deserve it and could never merit it, we must accept it as a gift if it is to become effective in our lives. For a gift to be complete, it must be received. God's grace is complete in his offer of salvation to us, salvation which comes as a gift of his grace. But we must exercise the responsibility of accepting or rejecting the gift. God's gift of grace comes to us as our eternal salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This is an amazing declaration. This is the amazing grace that saves a wretch like me. It is by grace we are saved through faith. We are not saved by faith, but by grace. It is not faith that saves us. Truly, we must exercise faith in order to receive salvation, but faith is not the saving agent. God's grace is the saving power. We are saved by his grace, his love, his power. God himself is the saving power. Our faith simply opens the door of our hearts to receive him. We are saved by God's grace. God's grace is sufficient to overcome every temptation, every test, every trial in our life. It is only by the grace of God that we can be victorious over sin. Therefore, God's grace becomes his victory through us. When the Apostle Paul was given a thorn in the flesh, he besought the Lord three times that it might depart from him. The Lord did not take the thorn away, but he did say to Paul, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Nothing is impossible with God, though the life of a dedicated disciple allows the grace of God perfect freedom in his life. Through his grace, we can have the power to resist temptation and transform every trial into triumph. The grace of God, the Father, which enabled Jesus to have victory over temptation in the wilderness, is available to his children. It is only by the grace of God that we can be victorious. When we see someone who has fallen a victim to sin and temptation and is in bondage to its evil power, we can truly say, "There, but for the grace of God, go I." Of course, the grace of God is available for this one who has fallen a victim to sin if he will but open his heart to it. Truly, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All of this should make us sing the doxology and write new hallelujah choruses. This fact should keep our faces forward and our hearts open. This should make us refuse to accept defeat in any experience of life, for his grace is sufficient. In our deepest humiliation, when the guilt of sin has fastened its fangs upon us in the severest way, we can know that the grace of God is available for our salvation. When temptations and trials test and torment us, we can know that the grace of God is sufficient for daily victory. When sin threatens to damn our souls in time and eternity, we can lift our eyes in hope. For the grace of God is sufficient for this life and for the life to come.